All right, take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, just for a few minutes tonight, just for a few minutes. And as we have the opportunity of, as I mentioned this morning, we're going to dedicate some of the service tonight, probably a good portion of the service. We may end just a little early, but we're going to dedicate some of the time to prayer. But before we do that, I would like us to just invest some time in what we're trying to do here at Calvary Baptist Church over the next several months. And it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to be used of God, a wonderful opportunity for us to expand our vision. So with that in mind, let's go to the book of Romans. Would you do that with me real quickly? The book of Romans in chapter number 5. We've spoken about this passage before, and you've studied it. You've heard it preached many times. But I never glance at this portion of Scripture, but that I don't get excited. I just do. Whether I'm feeling well or not so well, whether it's been a good day or not a good day, when you look at this text, it ought to put a little something in your spizzeruncum that just gets you boiling over saying, praise the Lord, this is good. This is really good. I mean, it goes beyond just really good. This is just really, really good. And so now that you're there, let's look at it. Would you do that with me, please? I tell you what, let's read it aloud, verses 1 and 2, all right? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and it reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Would you do that one more time with me? Now, when you get to verse 2, we're going to slow down just a little bit, okay? We're going to take a regular stroll on verse 1. Then we're going to take kind of a leisurely stroll on verse number 2, not because of a lack of emphasis, but because we want to emphasize that emphasis. If we could do it that way, it's probably not the best way to say it. But nonetheless, that we want to really, really concentrate on verse number 2. All right, let's read verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How many of you tonight, it's a question I know, I already know the answer to it as far as the folks that are, I know you folks, and it's just wonderful to be a part of the family of God, isn't it? And we just moved here, what, in February? Well, we became part of the church here in December. I feel like I've known you folks for the last 37 years. I mean, it just is wonderful to meet God's folks and become part of a family. So as you and I look at verse 1, and we understand that we're declared righteous, justified, righteous in God through Christ Jesus. Now, verse number 2 is with that understanding. Our position in Christ enables us to be seen by God as being righteous. Okay? That's our standing. Now, it's not necessarily our present appearance before God as far as if I'm disobedient or whatever, but let's just take for granted that everyone that came tonight is right with God. So your standing is right with God and your present condition before God is righteous. Let's just assume that, okay? So that's verse number 1. But verse number 2 says, because of our position in Christ in verse number 1, he says, by whom also, by Christ, we have access, that's the doorway, we have access by faith. What kind of faith? The same kind of faith of verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. So faith has an application of salvation. We applied our faith that God was willing to save us and that God could save us and that God did save us. All right? So therefore, being justified by faith. Verse number 2. By whom, Christ, also, we have access by faith. Not saving faith now, but living faith. And if I could put it this way, dreaming faith. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. What grace? The grace of our standing in righteousness. The grace of being able to have access by faith beyond just salvation. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace,
wherein we stand, and what's the next word? And what? Oh, let's turn up the volume. That wasn't really bad. That was really pretty good. But there's some that are not with us tonight. So the folks at home, they're going to think the radio's messed up or the TV or whatever. Video is messed up. So we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and what?
Rejoice.
Oh, that was perfect. Rejoice in what? Oh, there it is.
Joyful anticipation.
That's it. Joyful anticipation. Was that Josh? Ah. Oops. All right. Sorry about that. I'm going to have to apologize to Mike, aren't I? All right. But uh-oh, it's right. That was good. All right. So here we are. I'll keep my hands down this time. Here we are. We have, because of being righteous, being seen as righteous in Christ, we, by faith, the same kind of faith, the same reservoir of faith. The first faith was accessed for salvation in Christ, born again. But now we have access and we have another application of faith because of where we are standing in Christ. Now we have access and we can go ahead and we're standing in grace. We can dare to dream with God what He wants to do through us. That's why he says we can rejoice in, what is it, Josh?
Hope.
Hope, which means we can rejoice in joyful anticipation of the glory of God. We don't need, as God's people, to be sitting around with our lips stuck out. Just say, well, it's been hard. It's just a dark day. The tribulation could only be minutes away. That means the rapture's going to come. No! My goodness. Just think about what God can do. Just think about the revivals of yesteryear. Well, we don't live in yesteryear. We live in this here year. And just say, now, wait a minute. If He is the God that can work and can send revivals, because He said, if My people, which are called by My... You know, that's in Chronicles. He'll forgive their sin, heal their land. We've got folks all around this place that need Jesus. Is that true or not? Amen, that is true. And so as you and I look at this, we can legitimately, with credible faith, look forward to what God wants to do at Calvary Baptist Church. What He wants to do across the way over there where there's probably some nefarious activity going on. There's some up the street just a little bit, maybe a little widow lady that's the epitome of a grandma. Kind and sweet and gentle and never said an expletive her whole life. Anyone who is needy, boy, she was there in a skinny minute, as they would say in Texas. But she's not saved. And the fearful and the abominable and the whoremonger. Oh, and he goes on, gives the whole catalog. She'll find their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. The very first of those in the catalog of the damned is the fearful. Well, I just don't know, honey, if I can live the life, and I just don't think I can. So I'm okay. I'm all right. I've met a grandma like that. So when you and I dare to dream with God, that He can use even us. Brother Mills, He wants to use you. Can you imagine that? Brother Chris, He wants to use you. Can you imagine that? And collectively, you as a congregation tonight to say, Brother Bray, can you imagine that God wants to use even you? And I would have to jump right in the middle of that group and say, I don't understand why. But He says here, by accessing our faith, not for salvation, that's, as they say in business, that's a done deal. But because that's already accomplished, we can dare to dream with God. Now, we can sit back on our laurels and we can just rock ourselves into spiritual apathy and, well, God can do anything, God can do anything, God can do anything but fail. And I'm praying for Brother Jesse as he goes out. You know, I'm not given to that. And I'm praying for Brother Ron as he goes out. And I'm praying for Hannah as she goes out. And I'm praying for, oh, yes. And boy, I'm back. I got your back. I sure do. And you'll see me there one of these days. Yeah. No, we're asking God to do a miracle here. Amen? A miracle in each one of our hearts. That the old gospel song, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Because if there's anything between, bitterness, whatever it is, if there's anything between, oh my goodness, you talk about a mote in the eye. Oh my goodness. You take about 4 or 5 of those railroad ties they've just chunked alongside the way so they can put something in, and the railroad ties just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the blindness becomes more apparent. So, when we look at this passage, it ought to excite the heart. Now, with that in mind, let's go to James. If you'll do that, James chapter 5, we're going to hurry. James chapter 5. What a great text this is. James chapter 5. And remember James 1, he says in James 1 verses 4 and 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men. You remember that? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's what it means, Brother Larry. It shall be given him. Sister, that's what it means over here. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Here we go. Remember faith? Remember, we've talked about that a little bit tonight, right? Right? Faith for salvation and faith in salvation, okay? He says, but let him ask in faith, when we need wisdom, let him ask in faith what? Nothing what? What's the next word? Help me out. Wavering. Oh, now there we go. For he that wavereth is as a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive, what's the next word? Anything of the Lord. Why? Because a double-minded man is what? Unstable in how many of his ways? That's right. So we as a congregation have got to have one heart. We just do. We have to have one heart of forgiveness. Being willing to forgive, being willing to be forgiven. We have to have one heart of vision of what God can do. And praise God how He used Calvary Baptist Church in the last decades. Oh, praise God for that. Oh, souls saved and just wonderful. But those are past decades. This is this decade. This is this day. And so we have to be a people of vision. And God said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But we have to ask without wavering. God doesn't answer wavering prayers. Well, maybe it will, and maybe it won't. No. If God has a reason for not sending the showers of blessing, then he has a reason for not sending the showers of blessing. But we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? And so when we ask and say, dear Lord, give us the wisdom of knowing which block is ripe for sowing seed. Which block is ripe for watering? Which block is ripe or ready for harvest? So Lord, give us the wisdom of not just going helter-skelter out here, there, or wherever, but Lord, give us the wisdom that we need for this week, going out soul winning or telling the lost or having a radio broadcast or whatever we can use to tell men and women and boys and girls about Jesus. Lord, give us that wisdom. But there's something else that needs to happen prior to that. Now we go to James chapter 5. You're already there, and I'm joining you there. Notice, if you will, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, verses 16 and on, if you'll notice with me, verse number 20, last verse in the book of James. Will you say it with me, please? Let's quote it together. And it reads, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Okay, let's do it one more time, if you will, please. And let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. When we look at this last verse, verses 15, 16 down the rest of the way. Now, he had talked about healing before, and I believe that he was dealing with physical healing. But I believe he turns a corner when he comes to verse 16, because the rest of the verses are not dealing, in my opinion, with physical healing, but spiritual healing. Healing among brethren. Healing with someone who is erring from the truth, wandering from the truth. So let's look at that very briefly. Okay, notice what he says. Here is the injunction. Here is the command. Confess your faults one to another. Now notice all the times he says one another, or to one another, or for one another. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one, or pray one for another. Why? That you may be what? Okay? So until there is confessing and forgiving, there is not healing. Okay? If there's no confessing where it's appropriate, and there's no forgiving where there's appropriate, there is no healing. Have you ever known someone who perhaps had a bed sore, forgive the expression here, but had a bed sore on their tailbone? Maybe they were in a nursing home for quite some time. Maybe they had a serious injury or a problem where they could not be rolled over. Maybe a back surgery or something like that. And lying in that same state, they may have an air bed that fluctuates the flow of the air in the mattress. But nonetheless, they develop a sore on their tailbone. If that's not corrected, and it becomes infected, and it becomes an open wound, it becomes extremely difficult sometimes to get healing to that part of the body. Open wounds are never advantageous. They always promote infection. They always promote injury, further injury. They always promote everything counterproductive to a well body. He is saying here, among those in the family of God, because remember the last verse, he says this, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall hide, save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There are those things that I know that God takes folks home for. I've worked with or for two men that I believe the Lord took their lives. I've already mentioned that before, at least one of them, a preacher that I work for, who is known all over the country, preached at the First World Congress of Fundamentalists, treated me like a son. And yet if you were to talk to his wife, if she's still living, I'm not certain, talk to their attorney daughter, why did your dad die? Why did your husband die back in 19, whatever it was? They would tell you, if it's true today as it was then, the Lord took him because he sinned and was not willing to get it right with God. He had numerous people come and say, Doctor, you need to get right with the Lord. I have nothing to get right with God about. A pastor of a church, God gave him a heart attack, gave him the opportunity of repenting. Some well-known preachers that you would know if I mentioned their names flew in, drove in to say, Doc, you need to get, no, I'm fine. I don't have anything to get. And a massive heart attack took him home. No need to go into other illustrations. This is important to God in a New Testament church. That if, and I'm not saying we do, but if there are those where it has yet to ask forgiveness or to grant forgiveness, and we just have it kind of nestled in our little hearts and we just say, well, I'm just not going to. That what you're really doing, I don't have a handkerchief with me tonight, but what you're really doing is just saying, all right, okay, Lord, I dare you. Get my attention. I dare you. Throwing the old proverbial gauntlet down at God's feet. We're asking God to do the miracle, the miraculous here. We're not here to play games. Amen or no? We're here to see God do a work. And it's not about Randy Bray. Oh, my. This is not an exercise of humility. It's just the fact. You could get out a zillion. Or let's take it up a little bit more, a gazillion. preachers who are pulpiteers, and I am not. You get a lot more talented. But I'll tell you this, if I know my old heart, at least at this point, I don't believe there could be a pastor who wants God's blessing. Sorry. God's blessing upon this ministry anymore. They're probably equal, no doubt about that, but not more. And we have to be careful how we handle what God wants to do in this church. Because if you're a part of this church, as I'm a part of this church, I'm a part of either that which promotes healing and that which promotes God's blessing, promotes God using this church, or I'm there putting a damper on it and putting a damper on it. And the Holy Spirit's saying, I want to use Calvary, but I want to use Calvary, but I want to use Calvary, but no, let's get rid of those and say, God says, I want to use Calvary, and I've got this tool, and I've got that individual, and I've got this individual, and I can even use old Brother Bray. Why? If the stones can cry out for God's glory, I can use Brother Bray. If a donkey can cry out and get the attention of a wayward prophet, Balaam, if God can use an old donkey to do that, well, I can use Brother Bray. And you know what? That's the only hope I have. But I have that hope because I can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And what does hope mean, Brother Josh? That's right. I can go ahead and dare to dream with God that God can use this 5'6" fella for His glory. You say, preacher, you must think we've got a lot of problems. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. But I'm not convinced we're clean yet. We're not clean yet. And cleansing needs to take place. Past wrongs need to be forgiven. Past fellowships that's been strained need to be restored. Live stream folks that stay away from church just because of, you need to be where God wants you to be. You say, preacher, you're telling it pretty straight. Yes, because I want God's blessing here. And if we've got any infection, we need to get that infection out. Amen or no? Amen. And it's not where I need to come in, and I may have to sometime, and get some folks together and say, all right, I brought boxing gloves. Let's get it. No, we're not going to do that. Okay? We're saved. Let's deal with this biblically. But how much better it is when we take that old pride and say, pride? Why, that's like a stinky old shoe. When I was a junior boy, my best friend, I probably have told this, my best friend, when he and I were together and walking down the street, we looked like an optical illusion. I was skinny as a rail. I mean, skin and bones. I was just that way. He was just the opposite. What I didn't have, he had and made up for more. So he was kind of a big guy. I was a little guy. And because we lived in Phoenix, it tends to get warm in Phoenix. And his tennis shoes, talk about hurting the ozone layer. We would go, I'd spend the night at his house. He'd come spend the night at my house. And my dad would wait until we went to bed and we were asleep, and he'd go into our room, get Bruce's tennis shoes, and take them outside. They were that smelly. Okay? And here's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that we have it. I suspect there's still a little bit that needs to be addressed. And I'm pleading. I'm pleading with a heart, a pastor's heart, that says, let's don't be satisfied with that. Don't be satisfied. I deal almost every day of the week, my wife can tell you, with people distant. I deal with people that have grown accustomed to living in junk spiritually. Like a hoarder lives with garbage all around, and they get so used to it that if somebody comes in and tries to take that out, no, I may need that. And whatever, they get so used to it, it's like pictures on a wall to them. And there are people who live in bitterness, and you try to address bitterness, and no, I'm not bitter. I just have a burden that I pray about. No, it's bitter. It's bitterness. And I'm not there to be the arbiter of if you're bitter or not. The Holy Spirit does that right well, if I could put that way, in the old Southern expression. So he says, confess your faults one to another, and why? That you may be healed, and forgive one and pray for one another. So if you're confessing and for to one another and praying for one another, guess what? That's what 1 John says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship, one with another. So here you have two that something happened, and you, never that the twain shall meet. Until, wait a minute, this is not God's will. There's a righteous way for us to deal. We may not go bowling together and bungee jump together or whatever. We may not do that, but we've got to take care of this. And so when one confesses and the other forgives, or they both confess and they both forgive, and then not only do they do that verbally, but then they pray one for another, then they're giving credence to what it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. What you think can never happen as far as an intimate heart again, what you think can never happen, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, if we don't fix it, it doesn't get fixed. I have two uncles, I think I've said this, I have two uncles that in their younger years, as young married couples, the two wives got upset with each other over something. My Uncle Richard, my Uncle Frank, they're both still alive, and they're in their either late 80s or early 90s. I think Uncle Frank is 91, 92, somewhere in there. For the last probably 60 years, they have not spoken to each other. Maybe 50 to 60 years. The only time they've even seen each other, as far as I know, was at my grandmother's funeral many, many, many years ago, and I went there to be with my dad. And I watched him walk in, and I saw Uncle Frank look at Uncle Richard and go like that, and Uncle Richard went like that. That's not what God wants in the body of Christ. Amen? Let's dare to dream with God. But let's get pride out of the way. And let's say, I'm going to dare to dream with God. Now, that being the case, we'll hurry here. In between those, he talks about how it can be. Look at it, verse 17. Elijah. He was a man that put his breeches on just like we... Well, it doesn't say that. But that's basically what he's saying. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He got up in the morning, okay? He had his coffee. He didn't eat avocados, okay? Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, but what's the difference? He prayed earnestly, and what happened? And it rained not on the earth, how long? A space of how long? And how long? 3 years and 6 months. Wow. But what happened? And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You may be standing between someone whom God has on his agenda to take him out of this world because of stubbornness, because of bitterness, because of timidity, because of whatever it is. And God lays it on your heart, and you can get in the way. You could stand between the judgment of God and that individual, even as Moses did on a couple of occasions, between all of Israel and God. Notice what he says in verse number 16, the last part of it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, God answers that. Is that what it says? The effectual, fervent of prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. Okay? Effectual just has the idea of a working. It's in the gears are moving. The motor is running. The effectual, it's not, it's on in neutral over here, and it's potential. Energy ready to be activated and to go into this. Let's get the job done. No, this is effectual. This is a working. The effectual fervent is passion. So not only is the motor running, but there's a passion to get down the road, so to speak. The effectual fervent what? Prayer of a righteous man. We have to understand if we're not righteous, our prayers are not going to be answered. 1 Peter chapter 3, if a husband doesn't treat his wife as a weaker vessel, and the word weaker there is asthenia, which has the idea of sickly. Doesn't mean she's sick. It means how do you treat someone who is sickly? You don't go say, hey, just let's do this. Let's go over here. Do that. No, you don't do that. When somebody's sickly, you wait on them. You help them. You're kind. You're gentle. When you and I understand that God wants us as husbands to treat our wives gently, because he says, if we don't, he says that your prayers be not hindered. We can fast forward that to James chapter number 5 and say, listen, if I'm careless with what God's dealing with me about being forgiven or forgiving, or whatever the issue is, God doesn't look at that lightly. Because the heartbeat of Calvary Baptist Church is to be used of God. I believe that. I told some folks just a day or so ago, it may have been earlier today, I don't remember, it was yesterday or today, that I am so blessed. It was yesterday, I guess. And multiple times Friday while I was down at Ambassador, how's it going up there? And usually my answer is, they haven't fired me yet. So I'm good. Whatever's going on, I'm good with it. Okay? But I always follow that up with, there is a core of folks at Calvary Baptist in Hendersonville who love God. Let's champion that. Let's champion that. Be a part of it. We need you as part, Romans chapter 12. The gifts that God's given you, we need you. And so many others who are not here, and I hope that they'll listen on the, not the live stream, but on one of the recordings. But let's do a great work for God. Amen? So what we're going to do is we're going to take some time now as we finish out the service tonight. It's 10 till. We're going to just take some time. And I tell you what, let's have the men. If you'll meet with me in the back there, fellas, let's just meet in the back. And I'll tell you what, let's meet over by Brother Jason. Let's do that. Can we do it, Brother Jason? Let's meet over there by Brother Jason. And ladies, if you'll meet up here with Becky. And let's just have about a minute of silent prayer. And if you think that there may be something between you and someone else, okay, if you'll listen carefully, please. If you think there may be something between you and someone else, and it comes to your mind in that time of silence, just assume it's the Holy Spirit, because I don't know. Assume it's the Holy Spirit. Again, I don't think there's much of a problem. But I don't want any problem. Do you? I don't want any problem. I've had an ingrown toenail. And it was kind of bad years and years ago. And they took it off. The worst shot I've ever had in my life was when they put that shot in my toe. I thought, are they taking the toe off? What are they doing? They treated it to where that was never supposed to grow back. But you know what? It didn't listen to them. So I have to be careful. I keep that thing trimmed. As long as I keep it trimmed just right, it's no problem. No problem. But it has a propensity to want to come back and to just jab into the side of my toe. All I have to do is just say, nah, that's not appropriate there. And then guess what? It's gone. It's not a problem. If the Holy Spirit is yearning in your heart for renewed fellowship with you. Because if you have aught against a brother, I'll guarantee you can play church, but God's not churching with you, if I could put it that way. Let's be real with God. Amen or no? Okay? Whether I'm your pastor for the next 30 minutes or you say, all right, that's enough of that. He's on a one-track train. But God didn't call me here for you to think well of me. God called me here to make sure this church, at Calvary Baptist Church, the lighthouse in this community, helps grandpas and grandmas that are not saved, little boys and girls that need to hear about Jesus, teenagers who are nutty in the head and rebellious, and they're just being teenagers, but they need to know God loves them. And I believe that's why God called me here. Uprooted me from a ministry I love. Love teaching. But you know what? God's changed that in my heart. Since I've been here, it's just like a faucet that goes, doop, that's off. Whoop, this is on. And I'm all about God using this little 6'5" I believe in prayer. What does hope mean? Joyful anticipation. All right. But I'm all about, and I'm all in. And if you can find a way that I'm not all in, you come tell me. And I'll get it right, and I'll be all in. I promise you. May God help us. A minute or so of silent prayer, and then let's go to prayer. And if there's an area that needs confessing, and if it's a brother or a sister in Christ, I'm challenging. If they're here tonight, get up and go get them. Find a place. There's a room here. There's rooms downstairs. Find a place where you can get together and find a righteous conclusion of what's been estranged. If you will, and swallow pride. No, don't swallow it. Spit it out. Get it out of the system. And say, you know what? I want God to use me. Preacher, you don't know what's been done to me. Well, you're right, I don't. You don't know what's been done to me. Okay? We don't know what's been done to each other. But God does. And why would we let our old flesh overrule what God wants to do? Amen? So let's do it. This is a core group that's here tonight on a night when you normally wouldn't have been here. I didn't realize we would have had it anyway, just to be honest with you. But I didn't know that it would have been tradition. And I wouldn't have just walked over it. I would have said something about it this morning. I really did not know. But this is a core group. You're here. And I'm asking you, let's let it start with us. Amen? Others are fine. They're off with visiting mothers and things like that. And that's fine. I understand that. But we're here. Let's let God do a work tonight. Okay?